And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The race is on, and Ferrari became the first of Formula One's big three teams to unveil its 2020 car in a launch in Milan, complete with a few dashes of old-school pomp and circumstance. But the big question is, has Ferrari finally built a car that can make a sustained challenge for the World Championship? I'm your host, Ed Straw, and joining me for Milan is Scott Mitchell, and we will also hear Gary Anderson's verdicts on the car later on in this edition of the Race F1 Podcast Extra. Scott, did you enjoy the musical and dance flair that Ferrari brought to the launch?
Yeah, I did. It was, I think I'd count that as my first experience of one of those like razzle dazzle F1 launches. The days of cars being launched with pop groups seems to be sort of well behind us. But this was there was a lot of style about this. It was a sort of grand event that only Ferrari can really pull off. But style's never really been Ferrari's problem, has it? We're waiting for that substance, and obviously they're hoping that that's what they've revealed, or the start of what they've revealed with the SF1000.
Well, there was at least a little bit of a substance going on in the launch. Obviously, there was the car. What did you make of it when it was first unveiled? I think, were you up in the gods with the media for that?
Up with the gods. Based on what something Ferrari CEO Louis Camilleri said during the build-up to the launch, he certainly doesn't see us, the media, as gods. I was sort of looking down on the car. The car was sort of to my right, and I was up on like the third floor, looking out from a balcony. It's the swankiest view I think I've ever had of an F1 car. I must admit, when the curtains came back and the car was there, my first inclination was it's last year's car. Pretty much, I think it's almost identical livery. There was a sort of, I enjoyed a couple of people immediately going, they've launched it with Leclerc's number, because there's number 16 was on the side of the car. But obviously what a few people I think missed was that Sebastian Vettel's number 5 was on the nose. So there was no sort of subtle or not so subtle hint about who Ferrari favours there. But yeah, first impressions are obviously very similar because the regulations are the same. But once you actually look a little bit more closely at it, you can see some of the hints that I guess we're going to get into, and I'm sure Gary Anderson's going to get into more with that sort of tighter packaging at the rear. The sort of main thing for me was that the front wing concept has stayed the same. So yeah, the front wing sort of falls away on the outer edge, so that to have the airflow move around the tyre, which is against what Merck and Red Bull did last year. That's what I expected. I've said in a couple of podcasts now that they weren't going to change that concept, but we've seen it launched basically with a 2019 wing. So let's wait and see exactly what they come up with for the first week of testing, second week of testing, and then Melbourne.
Yeah, well, the good thing is, although it isn't really a new wing, it at least tells us that's the baseline, that's the direction for next year. So that's very interesting. You mentioned that packaging, and that was the thing that the rear of the car, that was the thing that kind of caught my attention as the sheet was being pulled back off the car, as is tradition. You can see they've been quite aggressive. And Ferrari seem to be quite proud of the work that's gone on into doing that, because that sort of thing obviously requires a lot of effort, a lot of time, and they're obviously pretty proud of what they've done in that part of the car.
Especially as it was a part of the messaging from Mattia Binotto, from Sebastian Vettel, and Simone Vresta, the Alfa Romeo, the ex-Alfa Romeo technical chief, who's gone back to Ferrari in an engineering capacity. I heard him talking about it as well. So they're very, obviously very proud of it. Binotto was talking in terms of, obviously, the regulations have stayed the same, so there's not really a fundamental concept change, but it's basically a massive amount of effort has gone in to going as extreme as possible, in his words, within the existing regulations, without departing from the concept. So the shaping of the car, the packaging, the way that they've worked on the suspension. They want to make the car more compliant across a wider range of circuits so that they're not peaky with their performance, and they're a bit more consistent, like we see more often with Mercedes. So yeah, Vettel reckons if you put the cars side by side, you can see the difference and the scope of the changes. Obviously he can, because he's much more involved in it than we are. But it sounds like, going back to what I said at the beginning, Ferrari's been style over substance for a little while, but they seem pretty optimistic and pretty happy with the efforts that they've made to give that car more substance.
Yeah, and it's all about ultimately progressing from last year, isn't it? Although they talked up the extreme concepts, etc. This is the second part of last year, if you like. There's a big step for 2021. So in a way, while inevitably people want massive changes and brand new concepts, that would actually be slightly worrying, really, if they weren't able to build on what they had. So if this is a kind of tightening up and an improvement, they've obviously gained downforce, etc. That should be quite encouraging for Ferrari. One thing that was quite interesting is he did, Mattia Binotto, that is, did reference the engine regulations and the oil burning technical directives, and the fact that had created a little bit of a change there, which I thought was interesting. So they've acknowledged they've had to make a tweak engine wise for that. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I thought it was just interesting that it just, to me, it's more indicative of the fact that it shows that Ferrari is focusing on the smaller details, as well as, so it's not getting carried away with thinking it has to make sort of sweeping concept changes or really big dramatic changes. It's all about they're learning how to refine the car in small areas and not having things that are an oversight. And it also fits in to the narrative that they are trying to make constant gains with the power unit. We know that they became or have become the benchmark engine again in Formula One. That came last year with intense scrutiny over the legality of the concept. We know that they wanted to pursue slightly better cylinder technology for this year, for example, but this is just another example of the lengths that they're trying to go to make sure that it's not just power, it's not just reliability, it's efficiency. They want to try and make this a proper all-round package. They know they need to be perfect to beat Mercedes, and that means just because they had the best engine last year, they can't just rest on those laurels. They have to push again more and more and more in every area, right down to this little thing about the with the oil regulation change, to make sure that they can be on top on the engine side, because they need that, along with their gains on the chassis side, to take the fight to Mercedes.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? Have they made gains in all areas? That's what everyone is trying to do. That's not going to be any big step change. But obviously, after the online launch that a lot of people have seen, that there was a lot of talk with the key players after. So technically, was there anything else they were getting excited about or being grilled on or even being reticent on when it came to the design of the car?
It's more about what they're willing to sort of go on and do now over the next few weeks. There's going to be a lot of experimenting, because they say that their numbers back in the factory where they've been doing their development work, they see a lot more downforce on the car, and with that it obviously comes more drag. So now it's going to be about shifting that balance. Right, okay, last year they were really quick in a straight line and slower through the corners. How much of that has gone the other way now? Are they going to be the benchmark through the corners? Are they just going to be slightly closer to Mercedes and a little bit slower on the straights? Can they afford that? They need to work out where they want that balance to sit, if they have got more downforce to play with, as they say that they have. And there are other things as well. So the Binotto was asked about the rake of the car and the wheelbase and how much that shifted from last year, because there's been some speculation about how Ferrari might even change something as fundamental as that. Binotto says that they will play around with the raking in winter testing, but the rake and the wheelbase is fundamentally similar to last year. It doesn't sound like there's anything massively different there. I've not seen a relevant side-by-side comparison, to be honest, so I can't comment emphatically on that. But from what Binotto was saying, it's just going to be the next few weeks, not just the two tests at Barcelona, but the early races of the season, going to be about refining things, getting to know this slightly new car. It's not revolution at all, obviously. It's going to be evolution because we're in the last year of these aero regs, but it's sort of advanced evolution, and they need to know what works because they can't afford to fall behind early on. Otherwise, it's going to be, you know, see you later to another title bid.
Yeah, and it would be doubly difficult given the fact the 2021 car is being worked on as well. I think Binotto described it as a two-year championship, didn't he, and that they are working on the big change for next year. And we did also see, you know, aero detail changes around the barge boards, the side pods changes. So it's clear that there is, although there's not sort of extreme concepts that you look at and say, my word, that's paradigm changing, that's a complete shift. It's clear that they have done the traditional just refine and improve everything. And if you can get that barge board side pod area really working and energized and working together with the floor, etc., there's huge downforce gains to be found there. So it looks like they've kind of focused on the right areas, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it is just, I keep going back to these things about sort of the finer things. And it's not that Ferrari had to learn that F1 is about small details. Obviously, they know that. But when you have bigger shifts within the organisation and making sure you've got the right structure in place and making sure that your concept is fundamentally sound, there are bigger fires to fight, basically. And I think that's what the biggest thing for Ferrari was in 2019 is, I think it ended up being just another, it was a costly learning year, but it was another learning year. And if they've been able to put the sort of right pieces in the right places, then that maybe this is the car that's finally going to bring all of that together. What I'm quite interested to see is how they then develop what they've got at the start of 2020. Because you mentioned those sort of intricate areas where there is performance to find. If they've got it right early on, then obviously fantastic. If they still need to refine it somewhat, then that's going to take extra development. And as you said just before, you have this sort of this season within a season, because we're developing for 2021 as well. But what's interesting, because I asked Mattia Binotto this, if there's going to be a shift in the allocation of resources compared to previous years, are they going to take everyone off 2020 to put them onto 2021 earlier than they would do a normal seasonal shift, because there's so much at stake and there's such a big change coming? But we know, we've reported this, Ferrari's going to have greater resources available, that's financially, but also in terms of human resources. So what Binotto's saying is the extra effort that they're going to make on that side means that they're actually not going to have any kind of difference in terms of when they change from this season to next season in terms of all of their development resources. So that's quite interesting, because it suggests that Ferrari's going to basically throw everything in the kitchen sink at 2020 and 2021. And obviously, if that comes off, then fantastic. They'll have a 2020 title bid, but they'll also be ready for next year. History tells us that that's not quite as easy as just throwing money and time and manpower at it. So curious to see whether that sort of, I guess, blows up in their face, because what you don't want to do is try and do 2020 brilliantly at the same time as doing 2021 brilliantly and then not doing a particularly good job of either.
Yeah, very, very much so. Well, we're going to hear a bit more from you in a minute, Scott. We'll park you for a second, because we'll be back after this with Gary Anderson's thoughts on the new Ferrari, as well as more launch-related chat. As ever, Gary Anderson has been taking a very close look at the launch pics of the Ferrari SF1000. Gary, what do you make of the car and some of the extreme concepts that have been referred to at the launch?
Matteo Binotto has said a lot about the concepts of the car being extreme. I wouldn't say what I'm seeing is an extreme car. When they first went with this side pod concept, that was probably more extreme than it is currently, because the regulations have stayed stable from last year to this year. So it's a matter of optimizing everything to work together. Obviously, last year, they themselves will admit they were a little bit lacking in downforce, and they needed to work in that area. They had a very strong engine, they had very strong straight line speed, but these Pirelli tyres need that bit of extra downforce to make sure you get the best out of them. So it won't be about you know, changing your concept as much as just optimizing all the parts and making them all work together from the front to the back. It's no individual component that makes the car function. It's about them all talking to each other and all working in harmony. If you can do that, then the overall car, every component on it just improves.
The front wing on the car is basically the same approach as last year, but Bonotto has confirmed that that's the baseline, pretty much a carryover. So we do know that the concept won't change. We talked before about whether Ferrari might switch to the loaded outboard concept, but it's decided against that. Is there a concern that might be a little bit too conservative?
Launch spec front wings are one thing that's always a little bit difficult to assess because it's a bolt-on component. Most teams will still be developing them when the car is launched, and there will be updates coming before the tests even and before the first race. But in reality, I'm pretty happy to see Ferrari following through with their concept from last year with the outboard end sweeping down. And as I've said many times, they're sort of a happy medium in there, I think, somewhere. Have enough of a sweep down to allow airflow around the outside of the front tyre, but also having enough wing area there to create some downforce. You don't want to create all your downforce from that outboard end because the front tyre is in the way of it. So you get a lot of blockage behind that part of the wing. And because the front tyre is steered, it also changes how that airflow moves around the front tyre. So you've got to be a little bit careful with it. But I like this concept. If I was designing the car, I would be heading down this route. And as I say, I think there's a happy medium between what Mercedes ran last year. They obviously won the championship, so you could say, oh, they had a better car. But the reality of it is they did a better job overall with everything. But I think this year you'll see the Mercedes philosophy and the Ferrari philosophy join up somewhere in the middle.
You can clearly see that the back end has been packaged very tightly. Ferrari seems quite proud of that, so it's a real area of focus for them. Do you see significant benefits from that?
The rear of the car, again, Matteo Binotto has said a lot about squeezing all of the back end of the car. Now, the thing about the car, as I say, it's the front to the back, it all works together. If you've got a tidy rear end on the car and the airflow is good, the coke bottle airflow is good inside the rear tyres, that influences the front wing. The whole air package, airflow package through the car is influenced by the back of the car, but you still need the cooling. So you have to make sure you've got enough room between the body side panels that we see, because the regulations don't allow you to have very big exits in the side of the car. So you have to have the cooling space between the gearbox and the body panels that we see. And then you've also got to have the space between the inside of the front tire and the body panels that we see to allow that coke bottle to work efficiently. So the only way you can do that is squeeze the gearbox, squeeze the rear suspension, squeeze all the detail of the mechanical stuff that's inside that bodywork. If they've put the maximum effort into that area, that is an area that will improve their performance overall, because you lose a lot of downforce if you have to open up the cooling. So if they've done their homework right and the cooling is adequate for the high ambient circuits and high altitude circuits, then I think the package will create more downforce just from the fact of being able to squeeze that the rear end of the car.
And summing up, Ferrari had a lot of little things that held it back last year and meant it couldn't really mount a sustained championship challenge. So from what you've seen of the SF1000, Gary, how confident are you that this is a good enough step forward?
Last year was a whole lot of things that really hurt them. I suppose, you know, reliability was one of them. Just the fact that they just didn't generate the downforce to get the best out of the tyres. A few years ago, they were actually one of the best on race day on conserving tyres, especially rear tyres, and they've lost their way on that. They had the ability to know how they did it, so they need to sort of look at that again and make sure that they address the situation. You've got to have the tyres, you know, durable for the race distance and keep the performance. So they need to look at that area. But as I say, it was a lot of little things. It wasn't just the car. The car was good at times. It was fast. End of the season, it got that a little bit better. But there were, you know, it was one of those things that was sort of good for pole position, but it never really showed up on a Sunday afternoon. And that's the thing they got to address. So a bit of everything, and they can be right in there, giving Mercedes a hard time.
Well, for more from Gary, head to therace.com. That's the-race.com for his in-depth analysis of the car. And there's plenty to read from the Ferrari launch there. Scott, coming back to you, inevitably there was focus on the drivers in the various press conferences that were going on after the launch itself was finished. Sebastian Vettel's a huge talking point, out of contract at the end of the year. And apparently he's first choice for 2021. So what was said there?
Yeah, so this is basically the sort of first of what I guess will be a sort of run-in update on Vettel's future. But Mattia Binotto said that he is the first choice for Ferrari for 2021. They want to continue with him alongside Charles Leclerc, who we know signed a new long-term deal last December that's going to keep him with Ferrari until at least 2024. But Vettel is a four-time world champion. His reputation speaks for itself, but we know that he's had it tough of late, made some mistakes last year, got beaten by Leclerc in Leclerc's first year at Ferrari. And Vettel's now going into the final year of his Ferrari contract, maybe not with the same sort of star power as he's had in years gone by. Binotto, unsurprisingly, was asked about Lewis Hamilton because at the end of last year, there was this interest supposedly with Ferrari in Hamilton, who's also out of contract at the end of this year. But Binotto said that he'd reply in a different way. He wouldn't talk about Lewis, but he'd say, he said, Seb is our first choice at the moment. It's something we're discussing with him. We will continue discussing. He's certainly our first choice, our preference at the moment. And obviously he was pushed on Hamilton a bit further, but he just reiterated that Seb's the option and that they're not considering Lewis right now. So it seems that the ball's in Vettel's court. You know, he's still only 32. Hamilton is 35. So Vettel's obviously got time on his side, but yeah, it's just this element of just sort of disappointing form and mistakes that have just raised questions over whether he actually wants to continue in a number two capacity, because there's a few people that think that that's the role he's heading towards given Leclerc's trajectory. But Vettel says he's happy to keep going. He indicated that as long as everything's in the right place, he'll continue. And he also pointed out that when he did his last contract renewal with Ferrari, which I guess was in mid 2017.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah, he didn't. That wasn't announced until Spa, I don't think. So he said, you know, strictly speaking, half of the year had passed, and he was unemployed for the following season. So yeah, he says he's not rushed or under any extra pressure, and Ferrari's saying all the right things to make it clear that it's basically his decision. As long as he does a decent job, he'll be in the car again in 2021.
I'm sure Vettel would actually love to have his name on a contract already. He's in a slightly different position to where he was in 17, but yeah, he'll let his driving do the talking. But looking at the launch in general, obviously there were references to the weaknesses of last year, need to improve reliability in a lot of small areas, and you had the Ferrari top brass there. So there is a lot of pressure there, isn't it? This is a team that hasn't won a championship since the Constructors in 2008, and this drought's been going on for too long by Ferrari standards now. So although it was all quite friendly and the usual launch upbeatness, this is a huge season for Ferrari, isn't it? Because it really needs to show that it can be a sustained threat over the year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I agree with what Binotto has said about having a young team and all the different bits and bobs that we've seen, and you know, Leclerc's promise and Vettel every now and again seems to do it, but we've yet to see it all come together, haven't we? And I'm a bit tired of, you know, you can give them the benefit of the doubt in a few areas, but there were so many missing pieces of the puzzle last year. They need to make a big step this year, because ultimately, you can't keep saying, "Oh, next year we'll get it right. Next year we'll get it right." They have to. It goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. A launch like this is fantastic, really, really glamorous, lots of style. But where's the substance? We need to start seeing the substance from Ferrari, and it has to manifest itself in a title bid.
Yeah, exactly. And the proof of the pudding will be in the eating, as it were. The eating in this case being when the car hits the track in testing. Well, thanks very much, Scott Mitchell. I know you've got lots of work to do, and you'll be charging off to Paris for the Renault event tomorrow. So plenty for you to be doing. So thanks very much. We shall let you get some dinner and maybe some sleep. Well, like we say, there's loads of launches going on this week, so we'll have plenty of the Race F1 podcast extras discussing the new cars, with Gary Anderson giving his technical evaluation. Do head to therace.com for in-depth coverage. There's plenty to read there, and also check out our YouTube channel for our technical analysis videos. And we'll be back with more tomorrow.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.